Before I proceed, I would like to say a shout out to those that are going to listen to us online when the message is posted to our website. We are so glad that you're able to listen to the message, even though you can't gather with us in person due to the COVID-19 health measures and restrictions put in place by our government and health officials. For a good number of weeks, we have been going through the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. In our Keeping It Real sermon series, so far we've gone through 1st John, as well as Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And today we move on to the second letter of John, written to the chosen and beloved lady with her children, which others think is symbolic of the church, in a message that I'm calling Walking in the Truth. Walking in the Truth, from 2 John verses 1 to 4. The book or the letter of John, the second letter of John, verses 1 to 4. If you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. I'm going to read from the New International Version. So beginning to read at verse 1, the Bible says, "The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. John repeats the word truth 5 times in our text in just a few verses. Has he lost his mind? No, of course not. But we will find out in a moment why. But before we do, could you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we honor you for the opportunity to sit here and listen to your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you may open our hearts and drive this word to our hearts so we may be changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you minister to us, Lord, in your own special way, like only you know how. May your grace, may your power be more than sufficient in this place. We submit to your leadership, Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In a post-truth world, ruled and controlled by Satan, the god of this world, small g, Satan, the deceiver and the father of lies, whose native tongue is lying because he was a liar from the beginning. Truth in this kind of world, ruled by Satan, is a rare product. From politicians to salesmen, people conveniently ignore or conceal facts and use words deceptively in order to win an argument, enhance their positions, sell their products and their narratives, and maintain their power, influence, and control. And that includes fake news, false flags, fraud, and military-grade wartime psychological, mainstream, and social media operations done for the purpose of misinformation, disinformation, and brainwashing or mind control. If you claim absolute truth on social media, the fact checkers will fact check your statement and say this statement has been disputed. Why? Because the fact checkers do not believe in absolute truth. Pretty soon they'll put a fact check on the message of the gospel. They will say this message is disputed by Satan or Lucifer. I only have one question though. Who fact checks the fact checkers? And who gave them the authority to be arbiters of truth? The last time I checked, there's only one true God, and he is the author of truth, and no any other person except for idols would claim they're arbiters of truth. For a long time, we have been living in Satan's web of falsehoods, preconditioned to accept lies for truth. If you question the status quo, you will be fact-checked and dismissed as being out of alignment or out of sync with reality. The Life Application Study Bible Commentary asserts that in this world, perjury, lying, falsehood, and untruth have become very common. Integrity and credibility have become endangered species. Words twisted in meaning and tone from context have become mere tools for self-gratification or ego building. It is not surprising that we have to swear under penalty of perjury or on the Bible to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. The central idea in our text this morning is an encouragement for us as believers to walk in truth and not in falsehood. To say no to Satan and his lies, and yes to Jesus, the author of truth. The Apostle John the Elder, probably based in Ephesus, the third largest city in the Roman Empire at the time, wrote to a believing lady, a chosen lady, and her children, whom he and many others loved with godly love that was grounded in their mutual knowledge of the truth, God's revelation as revealed in Jesus. John was overjoyed that her children were walking in God's truth, just as God the Father had commanded. We also ought to walk in the truth, as the Father has commanded us to do in His Word. But in order for us to walk in the truth, we need to know what truth is and what it does. Which brings us to our first question. What is truth? What is truth? In his article entitled, "What is Truth?" Harold Rhodes asks quite a few rhetorical questions that provide avenues for us to grasp our subject matter. Is truth absolute? Or does it vary according to circumstances and opinions? Is it merely a philosophical argument? What is truth according to the Bible? In his book entitled True Truth, Defending Absolute Truth in a Relativistic World, Art Linsley says, in defining truth, it is first helpful for us to note what it is not. So for us to understand what truth is this morning, we need first of all to deal with the question that addresses what truth is not. Truth is not simply whatever works. This is the philosophy of pragmatism, an ends versus means type of approach, or the belief that the end justifies the means. In this approach, lies can appear to work, but they are still lies and not the truth. Truth is not simply what is coherent or what makes sense. A group of people can get together and form a conspiracy based on a set of falsehoods where they all agree to tell the same false story over and over again. But still, it does not make their story true. Truth is not what makes people feel good. That's a popular one. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Truth is not what the majority believe and say is true. 51% of a group can reach a wrong conclusion in the name of democracy. Truth is not defined by what is intended. Good intentions can still be wrong. There are a number of philosophies and worldviews that challenge the concept of truth. Yet, when each is examined, it turns out to be self-defeating in nature. For example, as one avid blogger argues, the philosophy of relativism says that all truth is relative and that there is no such thing as absolute truth. But one has to ask, is the claim all truth is relative a relative truth or an absolute truth. If it is a relative truth, then it really is meaningless. How do we know when and where it applies? So when the relativist says there is no truth, he is asking you not to believe him. And the best thing you can do is to follow his advice. This kind of humanistic reasoning of truth is defined by the individual person's postmodern worldview, which states that the beliefs, practices, and concepts of right and wrong of a person are all valid in that person's own context of time and space. Thus, truth is relative only to that person, and there becomes no absolute right and no absolute wrong. And that worldview is far-fetched, and it is wrong on principle. The agnostic says you can't know the truth, yet the mindset is self-defeating because it claims to know that at least one truth, that you can't know the truth, is known. Now that we know what truth is not, let's find out what truth is. One writer simply asks, is truth established thought or reasoning? Is it conformity to a fact or a statement proven and accepted to be true by the majority? Do morals, standards, or religions offer any truth at all? Is experience truth? Or is truth only that which our senses of sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste can experience? Simply asked, what is truth? One definition from an online dictionary says, truth is that which is considered to be the supreme reality and to have the ultimate meaning and value of existence, even when it is not convenient. The Hebrew term emet, often rendered truth, may designate that which is firm, trustworthy, stable, faithful, true, or established as facts. The Greek word aletheia stands in contrast with falsehood or unrighteousness and denotes that which conforms to facts or to what is right and what is proper. As John MacArthur says, truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, truth is self expression of God. When Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate for judgment by the Jewish establishment, the Roman governor of Judea asked Jesus Christ the same question we are grappling with this morning. What is truth? Pilate said to Jesus. In John chapter 18, verse 37 to 38, The Bible says, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him with contempt, "What is truth?" In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answers that question when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You see, Jesus used the definite article, "I am," the truth, to emphasize himself as the only truth, because he is God. Jesus is not just one who teaches truth, though he teaches truth, we know that. Jesus is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Those who believe in Jesus have truth, and this truth will set them free from death to life and from darkness to light. In John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When you heed, when you pay attention, when you obey, when you follow the teachings of Jesus, the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, saints, unlike the agnostic, truth can be known, because it is not an ideology, as many may assume. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. So to know the truth is to know Christ and to walk faithfully to his teaching in obedience to God's word, written and otherwise, which is the Logos, which is the written word of God, and the Rhema, which is the spoken word of God. So it is easy to conclude that according to John, truth is referring to Jesus Christ and his teaching, as opposed to the lies of the false Gnostic teachers. That's why he repeated the word truth 5 times in a few verses to highlight the supremacy of truth over false teaching. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, it says of Jesus, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. In the same place he said, "For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus." The truth is that man can only get to the Father through Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the truth. And he reveals the truth to us so we may be saved and have eternal life once we believe in him. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, God's word, the Bible, is truth. He said to the Father in prayer, sanctify them through your truth, because your word is truth. Sanctify them through your truth, because your word is truth. So truth is also understood to refer to God's written word and spoken word, the incarnated word, which is Jesus Christ. Psalm 119 verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of the word of God is truth. Let that sink in a little bit more. Now that we understand what truth is and what it does, let's move on to our next and last question. What does walking in the truth mean? What does walking in the truth mean? To walk in the truth conveys a life of obedience, a life of integrity, holiness, and faithfulness. Following Jesus by obeying his teaching in his word, and then living it out. And this is what John means when he talks about walking in the truth. Following Jesus and living a life that is pleasing to God. David prayed in Psalm 86 verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. What is your prayer this morning? Are you praying that the Lord should show you the way, teach you his statutes and the word of God, so that you may turn around and obey him and follow him and live it out? Are you praying that the Lord might give you the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom? I hope that is your prayer this morning. In Psalm 25, verse 5, the psalmist simply prays, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Lead me, guide me in a way everlasting and in the path of righteousness. Thy word is a light and a lamp that would guide me as I navigate my way through the clutter of life in this world. So teach me, Lord. That's my prayer. That's my desire. I need you. Teach me. Help me to walk in the way of the Lord. So simply stated, as we begin our descent, walking in truth is to order one's life according to the word of God. It simply means obeying God's word, reading it, studying it, living it out by striving to abide in Christ every day. And that means in word and deed, out of reverence for God. When you are walking in truth, you develop godly characteristics. You hate sin as God hates sin. And you draw closer to God because you are reading and obeying the word of God. You are seeking after God. And God says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. God will reveal himself to you if you seek him with all your heart. And in closing, Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, as children of God, we are to walk in newness of life. Walking in newness of life is our calling now that we are children of light. For Ephesians says, once you were in darkness, but now you are children of light. Walk as children of light. So, here's my applicational question for you. After listening to this message, what would you say is your greatest challenge to walking in the truth, to walking in the way everlasting, the way of righteousness? What is your greatest hindrance? And what steps are you going to take to ensure that you are walking in the truth? Listen to the Holy Spirit as he whispers in your heart about some of the steps that you can take to draw closer to God, to seek after his face, to walk in the fear of the Lord, and to walk in the truth each and every day. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Eternal God, we thank you and we honor you for the power of your word. Our prayer is that you may help us, Lord Jesus, to submit ourselves to you and allow this word to bear much fruit in our lives. Help us to repent, to confess, and to align ourselves with the will of God for our lives. Each and every day, give us that thirst, that hunger, to seek after you, Lord, that we may walk as children of the truth, walking in the light, reading and obeying your word, allowing the word of God to wash our minds, to transform us from inside out, so that we can be all that you have called us to be. Help us, Lord Jesus, in our quest to abide in Jesus, the truth, to walk a walk that is worthy in your sight, in order to bring glory to you, our God. Help us not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the word of God. And now, unto God, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Unto him be glory, power, and honor. Because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen.